We have Luis, Antoinette, Hitoshi, and yourself and me.
Hi, all.
Hi, all, everybody. Great. Okay, let me go into the room. I'm multitasking right now.
Which document do you want up first in the Adobe room, Luis?
Sorry?
Which document do you want me to put up first?
We can check the maybe the funding first. But Bart is grabbing a coffee, then I need to wait for him.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Let's wait a little bit. To see. Isaac, apologize for this call or something like that?
No, I haven't. I haven't heard from Isaac. Antoinette, you said he has the flu?
Yes. I received an email from Isaac, and he indicated that he had the flu.
Yeah, so okay. So
we weren't able to.
I haven't heard.
Yes, that's why. He said he probably would not be participating in the meeting this morning.
Okay.
My apologies for not transmitting that. Mission to the...
No problem.
Do you all have the last version of the document, the draft 5?
Well, I have it. Obviously.
Okay.
Who are you talking to? Talking to about the Adobe room or?
No.
I'm in the Adobe.
In the Adobe too. Yes.
Okay. Oh. Just let me know when you want to switch the document.
Okay.
Okay.
Bart is there?
Yes, I'm back with coffee.
Okay. Oh, sounds great, but. To me, I need to make it, and then I don't have time. But the travel
okay.
Funding, a question for you. This travel funding model, there for possible models, the idea with this is to send the different models to the CCNSO for evaluation, and they choose someone. Or we, in the working group, we need to choose one to propose?
Most likely is, say, normally what you see is that a recommendation of the working group is anticipated. So if the working group has a sense, but say, given this is probably going to be a contentious issue, the whole funding. I suggest that, my suggestion would be that the working group presents the models and have a sense of the community what they want.
Okay.
It's, say, what makes it difficult, say, everybody knows there are up and downsides to each of these models. And this goes back, to some of the more practical questions that Hitoshi raised in his email this morning. Say, for instance, if you do a cross-CCTLD funding, so if it's purely funded by the CCTLDs, who's going to collect the money, etc.? And that could be done by, say, the governance committee, but this is who's paying for the services.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes, I understand. Okay. Then the idea is to present all the models and have some feedback from community to recommend someone. Okay. Then We put all this in the document then in the section of the trouble funding.
Yeah,
is okay?
Yeah, that's fine. The only question, look, say, and that is the downside of this. If you don't know what amount, say, if you talk about $10 a year or $10 a month, that's something different than talking about $1,500 a month.
Yes.
So we need, maybe we should go back to, say the previous working group. They did a initial sense with a trusted intruder about the amount it would cost. So there are two sides to this. First of all, to make it worthwhile, you need at least, 80% of the CCTLDs to sign up to it, if not more. Otherwise, it's useless creating a contract repository. That's my sense.
Okay.
Maybe people have another idea, but you can already see the ranges. So what it means is if you have 80% of the CCTLDs with a month or, say, a yearly subscription fee, then you know what needs to be funded. Then it becomes more practical. And you can do that fairly easy by going back to, say, and that's a fee of 2 or 3 years ago from the prior one, and just calculate on that basis how much is, say, what are we talking about? Does that make sense?
Yes, sure. Yes. Okay.
Yes, I was typing again. Thank you for that response, Louise. Just to piggyback a bit off of what Bart had just shared with us, perhaps we may want to, when we present this document to the body, is to just develop a consensus of what the added value would be, justification, rationale, as to why it would be a good thing for CCTLDs to sign up for a service.
Yes.
That way, it would just make it an easier sell to people to be willing to pay, whether it's $10 a month or whatever the fee rate or scale would be established.
And I think, say, Antoinette, you're right, and I think the rationale is already, say, if you go back to the original working group, why it was created, and say, with the adoption of it and in the mandate of this working group.
Yes, I mean, we could just add, again, the added value, because I'm sure that, there have been incidents and there's really even more of a need now for this than at the time when it was originally conceived.
Yeah, you're quite right. So
I was just thinking of it as far as being able to sell it to be able to present it in a positive light so that people would buy into it quicker, much easier.
No, and I can go back to, say, the original. I still have the original emails from Jörg Schweiger on the potential costs of it, and it's fairly easy to calculate on that basis what it means, what the different models are.
Oh yes, but in that moment we think that the reference could be expensive, but I think this is very important. This contact repository for emerging infosecurity, and I think we need to have a real cost of to try to. Yeah, oh, okay. Let me organize my ideas. Sorry. I'm thinking in Spanish.
otherwise, just send an email to organize your ideas. Probably.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay.
I think, Antoinette, your point of a rationale is very valid, and so that needs to be included and need to be checked whether the community thinks that is a proper rationale.
Okay. Because all we can do is just present it.
Sorry?
I said all we can do is just present it. To the body, and we can take it from there. But observation so far has, you've seen so many incidents, and I'm sure if this was in place, it would have made it a lot quicker to be able to respond and perhaps not to have gone so much out into the public. As far as the incidents that occur, it could have kind of like addressed it internally because it could have seen the attack straight on.
Have been forewarned.
Exactly. Yeah. So perhaps even within the funding model under that category of our document, perhaps maybe just give a little bit of the historical part of it, and to say that the need was identified, X number, a few years ago, and we've had a frequency, of observed incidents. And again, let that be the lead into going into the funding model. And that might be a place to put it as far as for the justification, rationale, and added value.
Yeah, Louise, if you come up, say, if you could organize your thoughts and send an email, I'll try to include it in the funding model piece. And I'll look it up, say this is just a spreadsheet calculation. It's going to be fairly straightforward.
Okay.
Say, what does it mean? What needs to be funded if you would have something, a body like Trusted Intruder? With the prices at the time, maybe that's changed, but it doesn't matter. It gives a sense of order of magnitude.
And a sense of reference, Bart.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we can. I can send that email with my thoughts about the funding to the links later. We do need to talk a little bit more about this travel funding, or we can go through the document.
I have more a question. For everybody. Do you think this captures the different funding models without going into the specifics? Or do we need to add, or do I need to change anything?
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry, Louise. I think keeping it simple with the four categories presented is really more than enough. We can add to it, we can take away from it, but at least we have presented more than one option. And in this case, it's four.
Yep.
So I think that just from looking at it from an array of options, the options are there for people to the community to vote on.
Okay, maybe I have a question, Bart. I'm reading the funding models. could be a possibility that the funding comes from outside CCMSO, for example, I don't know, BID or some organization interested in security or some security, for example, or CERT, and that could be a model too. Is that possible?
Yes, why not? You could say, like ICANN funding could be as included ICANN or other entity.
Okay, and could be a mixed model too in that way.
Well, perhaps it would be other. Perhaps you would just say private funding.
Yeah, or private funding. Yeah.
Because the other would be private as far as what's being presented. Private funding.
Yeah.
But ICANN funding is private too, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I think we can. Okay. If that is possible, then I think we can add looking at that word. The funds could come from another instance or another party, external party.
The issue then it becomes who's going to select that third party.
Exactly.
And
transparency.
That's one, but also the practicalities of who is going to fund, say, and what are they going to fund? Maybe as a mixed funding, and as part of the mixed funding, that could be another party. But it's going to be difficult to find that third party.
Yes. But the question is because we can include that option. Okay.
I think in my mind right now, probably I'll rewrite it a little bit because I saw already a typo.
I went through your document and did an edit on it. I can send it to you later.
Oh, if you could, please do.
Yes, I did do that.
And
I did
great.
Read it.
And the same is with the governance model.
On the governance?
Louise, and Antoinette and Hitoshi, I suggest that we got a way forward with this one. Let's reconvene and let's discuss it more at the next call.
New funding?
The funding, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Some items to improve it, and one is to come up with a rationale, include that one, and secondly, they change a bit, make this a bit more elaborate, different funding models, and thirdly, add, based on historical numbers, add some meat to the bones is, what does it really mean? What amounts are we talking about?
Okay, yes, that's a good thing. Yes.
Yeah, and once we completed that, it just needs to be done, and revisit this at the next call.
Yes. Okay. Just if I remember well, with York, we talk about 2,500 euros a year by member, right?
Yeah, I don't know anymore.
Okay.
I still have the emails, so...
Yes. Yeah, something like that, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we can go ahead and go to our document. We can talk about next call about the... this document. Okay, that I agree with that. Can we change the document? Christina? Okay, thank you. Okay. Some changes in the document. I have a little question for you. I place on the front page. I write in the past the names of the members of the working group, but suddenly I think about this working group has more members, much more members that we are in the call, and I don't know if it's necessary to play the name, but just ask you, Bart, what is the common way, or what is the use to just put the name or something like that, the name of the working group?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's only fair, because we've all contributed.
Yeah. And that in the annex, normally what you do in the annex is include the names of the people who contributed, and then their staff support, but that's not necessary. But at least the members of the working group.
Okay, I like that. I like that idea. And include the names of the contributors in the annex. Maybe we can find all the people who worked. Okay, I like it. Okay, there's any comment about the abstract? I think, Antoinette, you sent some bracket. You put some bracket here, but I don't remember where it's.
Okay, well, on the first page, well, just with my writing style, because I do ton loads of RFQPs and technical documents, of business, not specifically with this type of information, but of this nature. And for example, if you notice, I will take a term, like directory service, and if we're going to turn it into an acronym, of course I do the term DS, and then you can use that acronym throughout. When I put things in brackets, it's usually questions that I have where I don't necessarily want to go, Luis, and take the liberty to go and change it.
Okay.
I'm known just to do that, you know, just for reading purposes.
Okay.
So I'll put things in brackets as questions at times, or, you know, I'll just pull it out and say, you know, is this what you really mean, or is this what you intend to communicate, so you have clarity, so that I can go and, again, address it to do the right, so that it flows and it reads easy. So that's where my brackets come in. I'll write questions. Normally, I call it my margin comments.
Okay. Yes, okay.
That's what my brackets are all about.
Okay. I tried to answer some of your brackets.
Yes, and I did get a chance last night when I did get in to respond back to you to see what comments you raised. But those were just, they're my comments. So I just need clarity and clarification, because if I'm not following it, I'm sure there's going to be someone in our community that's not going to be able to follow it.
Okay.
Okay.
To explain yes.
It. Thank you.
I'm not so sure, but I think you took the last call. I can't get into the last call, but I think I hear the recording, and I think you talk about a little bit about the flow or that one.
Yes, and the use cases, and that was what I wanted to specifically work with Isaac.
Yes, so, I understand.
So that we could get that section of our document populated and, you know, put in place.
Okay. But, I remember that part. But my question is about the sections or the topics of the document that I put it on the screen. Do you have any recommendation about these topics? We need to add more topics, more sections, sorry, or change the order, or...
I would first like to kind of get through the document and do my complete finish my edit. And then after I do that, I like to, you know, because I'm able to see the sequence flow. And then
yeah, the sequence. That's my question, is the sequence.
Sequence. And because it's the last thing that I do with the document is actually generate the table of contents. And then there's also going to be, I'm going to recommend that we have an appendix where all of the acronyms, the terms that we have assigned acronyms to,
okay,
will be defined. It'll be like an appendix of definitions. Not definitions, but, you know, identifying all of those acronyms comprehensively.
Okay.
In an appendix. So I'm still, I would still like to be able to get through that use case, because when I, those cases, I'd like to be able to, you know, it's case or, you know, situation A, B, C, D, E. And then, of course, you know, there might be a use case where because times may change, you know, to put in a section it says, and for, you know, unforeseen cases because of changes in technology, whatever, with that. So I was really looking forward to working with Isaac on that. So I'm just waiting.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to him being able to help me, to guide me through it so that I can process it.
Okay.
Okay.
And then present it
back to the group, mm-hmm. and then you all can go and then
yes.
take your stab at it.
In any case, I have more time now. Then if you want, I can join you too.
Okay,
maybe by Skype, something like that. Just let me know.
Okay, great.
Then,
great.
Okay, according with my vision on this, the Section 2, Contact Repository Functional Description, will be the reference for request of information. Do we need any other section for that request? Maybe Bart can help us a little bit here.
Can we move the document? Can we move the document now? Because I'm still seeing table of contents.
Yes, we're seeing table of contents. Okay, there's an introduction.
Thank you.
Section two. Discuss the repository function and descriptions. This is for me. It's like a technical requirements for external contractor or provider to build the system and operate the system. But I don't know if we need more information to send to the potential providers to request for information about cost and about the functional description. The idea with this request of information to providers is not only have an estimate price, but have some feedback about the requirements. This is the idea. Bart, do you have any suggestion about this, what I'm talking about?
My suggestion would be explain this to the community, but first check whether this captures what with the community what they expect.
Okay.
Before sending it out.
Okay.
Because and only then, because that's in the mandate, as you may recall, it's in the mandate of the working group as well. Say, it needs to go back to the council. The council needs to adopt this. But adopting this means effectively that, say, the community needs to feel comfortable about it. That's the way it works.
Okay. Oh, well, what I'm asking is more like formal way of two things about the what is necessary to send. In case of the TCMSO adopted, my question is if we need more information or more sections to the document to be able to send to the possible providers later, or we can think about we are done here. This section.
Yeah, but it's, say the next phase. I would say this has been structured as a request for information.
Okay.
Yeah, and so the first step is, say for the community, say, did we capture what is needed properly? If they do, then say it's also for, then it goes to the council, and only then you can go out on behalf of the community, an RFP or a RFI.
Okay.
And maybe there will be feedback that people say, okay, this needs to be added. So I wouldn't be too concerned about whether this is, say, this captures the most important aspects of it, and that's why you need to have the funding model included as well, in a way, and say, okay, this is what we think, and say, based on some old research, this is the funding, and this is the way we think it could be governed, or there are different proposals. Because that determines, in fact, as well, how, say, if there is a choice on the governance model and on the funding model, that determines the RFI as well.
Okay, that's my question.
So there are still some unknowns. So we got the basic requirements for the service itself.
Okay.
But we do have, as a working group, we present different governance models and we present different funding models. And probably the ultimate choice will be very late in the process, but that doesn't matter. What is important is, say, at least to converge on a funding model and on a governance model.
Okay, but that does not affect the process, the conceptual
requirements.
Yes.
No, it doesn't.
But
you need to have feedback from the community on these requirements.
Yes, sure. What is the best way to do this? Okay, well, let's. Okay.
Part. When we do the presentation to the community, is it an oral presentation or a combination of providing them with a draft of the document, the working document,
and an
oral presentation?
I would say both. Because, but say, like, say the governance model is one. Say the requirement, I would go for the main sections, and the document is available anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I would go for the main section. Say the main section is the requirement. So, and the models that Hitachi developed. So, four elements. I would say the model, because that's the high level model, how it would function.
Yes.
Secondly is the requirement. The third one is a governance model with the choices there to get a sense of the community. And the fourth one, which, say, is the counter or the other side, is the funding model. So these are the four main
components.
Subjects, I would say, topics. And they are all captured in the document itself already. But say, if you do the presentation as a group, it would be, I would not spend too much, the requirement is if you publish it in advance for the consultation, I would, then people have time to read it, and then summarize the main points in a few slides.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, great. Yeah, great that because I'm more clear now. Then at this stage, I think we need to include the funding model, and we almost near to publish the document for advanced consultation before the Beijing meeting. Could be that possible, but or do you think we need much more?
If we can't make the, say, I know the Beijing agenda is already very full. Say Durban is 2.5 months later. So
yes.
So that's fairly close, and say, and we could give them a heads up anyway of where we are, because that's a good idea anyway, and then prepare it for the Durban meeting and say go to the program working group to for a set, say for a half hour session with the CCTLD or CCNSO meeting itself. And another thing is, Louise, what we could do as well is at least get some initial feedback on the model itself, say that it was developed by Hitoshi, and say the requirements on Tech Day.
Oh, yes. That's
yeah, good. That would be perfect. That's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
A good suggestion.
Okay, maybe I can. Do you think about this Beijing meeting to propose for the Tech Day?
To see if Eberhard has a slot for Tech Day.
Okay.
And then you can say with Hitoshi and you either in person or remotely can present it.
Okay. That sounds good. That sounds very good.
Because that's the first time, say, that you have a sense of the group and the sense of the meeting, and people are very much engaged in this field.
Okay. That sounds good.
And then we have a reasonable, clear process, so we don't have to, I think that's a good thing, we don't really have to rush into the Beijing meeting.
Okay.
Based on the feedback of the core piece, say that's a requirement, we can adjust it if need be and then present it well ahead of Durban and claim a slot at the Durban meeting.
Yes, okay. That sounds good for me. Okay. I don't need too much time to present. I think we don't need too much time to present this because we don't need to go in detail with the governance or funding model. Just to present the diagram, the model, Hitoshi's model, and some of the requirements. And I think we can do it in 15 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, or half an hour. Say you got the diagram. You got first. You got the use cases. Then you got the diagram.
Okay.
Then you got the requirements for such a repository.
Yeah, I think yes, it's easy. and then it's a good thing to have some feedback from the community if there's some feedback, or at least we start to sail the proposal. Then I think it's very good because we are. Oh, maybe we can talk next call about the you see this trouble funding. Yeah, this funding model is we need to fill it. Okay, I updated the document with the last version of the Hitoshi's diagram. I noticed something here. I don't know if Hitoshi can help us with that. The size of the text is too small for this document. Maybe for a bigger presentation, bigger screen, or bigger format. But for the for the letter type document, it, I think it's too small. But I don't know if we can adjust this. Well, that's my talk about the diagram, but the diagram is great. And with this, I think we can finish. Anybody has any other business or any comments?
No. What I'll do is I'll send a note right after this, so in the course of the day, say the suggestion for the presentations, etc.
Okay. Great. Yes. With that, we can work. Okay. Anybody else?
No.
Okay.
Hitoshi?
Everything is okay, Hitoshi?
Okay.
Great. Hitoshi, are you be in Beijing meeting in person? Would you be there?
No.
Oh. Antoinette, are you coming to the Beijing?
I'm working on it. I'm having issues in submitting my visa application because of the remoteness.
Wow.
Finding an embassy to submit my application to, and it must go with my passport. So I'm trying to find a service that can do that for me in the States, because I have to submit it, I think, to Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So I'm trying to find a service that can assist me, if I can do an express mail to them, and because you have to take to the embassy in person. So it's a bit of gymnastics for me right now, and I don't want to leave the Virgin Islands to fly to Washington to spend 2 days for the process.
Okay.
I don't have the resources and the money to do that, so that's where I'm at. But if I get through the visa requirements, then I'm planning on being there.
Okay.
Bart?
Yeah?
Christina? Would you all happen to know how I could find a service that could do that for me, actually take my visa application with the passport and all appropriate documents to the embassy?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm going to send it by mail.
Okay, I'm just so nervous sending my only passport by mail.
Yeah.
I know, it's a little, that's the way they do it here. So, I don't know, you can choose the service where they track the, like you insure the package or something, and they track it, and you can know where it is all the time.
Okay. I'm just so nervous.
Yeah,
it is a little.
Maybe a call to embassy, because the embassies used to have some partner in the this kind of document post, something like DHL or FedEx, but they used to have some partner, a particular partner to do these kind of things.
Okay.
Maybe at the embassy they can recommend you a company to bring your passport, and they do in the good way, because they used to have passports. And I could offer my help. We have a China embassy here, but they cover only Central America. But I offer help for a friend from Guatemala, and she can send me the passport to me, and I can take it to the embassy and go send it back. But in your case, will not work, because they receive only Central America passports.
And I'm not even certain that the D.C. Embassy is the location that I need to send my application and passport to. I haven't been able to sort through and figure out which embassy my information needs to go to, because the Virgin Islands is not listed anywhere in their information that they have online.
No.
So
okay.
This has been challenging. It was easier for me to get a visa for the Middle East.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, but thank you so much, and I will actually follow up on that, and I will call the embassy. I will call the embassy directly. So thank you all so much. I appreciate that.
Okay. Well, I think we are set. We are done. Thank you so much, and we'll see you in the next call.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you all. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.